Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We've spent most of the first 2 hours talking Michigan, Michigan State. There's other news in sports, and we will get to some of it here in the second half of the show. But if you want to keep talking Wolverines and Spartans, 248-539-9797, kind of compartmentalizing those topics. You know, you've got the 2025 version of your team, and then, you know, what's ahead long term. And so we've kind of had four separate topics: Michigan this year, Michigan State this year, future for both. And we got Champ and Chump going, as we do every Monday. Get your Champ and Chump votes in, 248-539-9797. So you heard during the update there that Brian Kelly had been let go by LSU. One of the names floated out to replace him is somebody who played at LSU and was on the LSU staff. And that is current Detroit Lions defensive coordinator Kelvin Shepard. Kang, where did you see their names connected today? It was some report.
The internet.
Okay, yeah.
It's not, no, the report was, there was no report. It's right. Just people are just like you and I looking up, hey, oh, Shepard went to LSU. Right. He also worked there, and that's it, people. So there's no like source or story out there that's saying that they've spoken or anyone's interested, but, you know, people can see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we have quickly become all in with Kelvin Shepard. And when you have a good team, one of the things you're going to have to deal with is your coordinators are going to get poached. But and we just dealt with that. It feels like it'd be awfully early for him to get this opportunity. But that doesn't mean he wouldn't be a great head coach. Listening to him talk, my early read is he might have the stuff. And what I look for first, obviously you have to have coaching competence that is provable on the field. But I also look for a guy that I think can get across to his roster and a guy that is relatable. And I know, I mean, this is what's really, you know, sort of hard to measure. And you can't always tell from press conferences, although they do feel like they are a degree of evidence, but not necessarily something you'd roll with great certainty, how they sound at a press conference. But I think it's really difficult to be able to get everybody pulling in the same direction at every level of football when you have people with different aspirations and now different incomes at the college and pro level. If you are a college player and you think that you can be something special, and many college players do, if not all of them, you want the job. You want the football in your hands, or you want the starting spot so you can secure that big NIL deal. And at the pros, obviously, you got guys making league minimum, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you got guys making millions of dollars. How do you get them all pulling in the right direction and accepting of their roles? And I think that's a really difficult thing to do. My early read on Kelvin Shepard is I think he might be pretty good at it. It's early.
I'm a big fan. I'm uncomfortable with this.
You don't like it?
No. And my initial thought is, well, if not LSU, what about Michigan State? I like Kelvin Shepard a lot.
Well, he has no ties, but that doesn't...
Why? He played in the state of Michigan. That's a problem. He's coaching here now. in the state of Michigan. That's all you need.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, what a big deal. So he played at LSU. They won a national championship there as a player. So what? So he cut his teeth and, you know, was, you know, part of their team in 2020. Like, whatever, player personnel. Who cares? Does that really mean anything?
In some people's eyes, it does. You know what? An LSU man is going to coach LSU. Yeah.
I would be stunned if LSU went with a guy who's never coached before.
As a head coach?
As a head coach. Yeah. I'd never been a head coach before, become a head coach there. Yeah, I'd be stunned.
Yep.
I don't know who they're looking at, but I would think that Billy Napier would be a pretty big name for him, having coached at Louisiana, where he did very well before going to Florida. Just thinking.
Could be. But anyway. Yeah, Calvin Shepard early on, I'm like, okay, this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the defense take a huge step back. I'm still rooting for Aaron Glenn. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was awesome for him.
Yep.
But no, I like the Lions defense. I mean, plus, does his light shine brighter than after what happened last week against Tampa, where you're starting four defensive backs that,
yeah,
you know, outside of Malik Robertson, you got four other defensive backs you're starting that weren't starters?
I mean, I guess maybe the inverse of something I hate is true. And what I mean by that is I hate that we're in a world where guys get 5 minutes to build their program, and if they don't, they get fired quickly. I'm not comfortable with this, but maybe the opposite is true. You need the smallest amount of evidence to elevate a guy to the head coaching position. What have you done for me lately? And Calvin Shepard has been the defensive coordinator here. Let's be clear here. We're probably getting carried away with this. Yeah, it's just people on the internet are connecting Calvin Shepard to the LSU job. There's nothing. I don't want to create a story. Yeah, I don't want to create a story that isn't there. But I do find the maybe the opposite is true. Guys get elevated quickly.
It's crazy that the Lions have become such a great place, a culture, you know, organization, that they're being poached now. Like, obviously, we lost our both coordinators, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they take guys with them to get elevated and promoted to their, you know, wherever they end up going, right, whether it's Jets or the Bears. And then remember Dan Campbell and the link to Texas A&M? When they needed a coach, he had to come out and say, like, hey, I'm not, you know, there's no truth to that. I'm staying here. And now defensive coordinator again being linked. And there was a time when no one would touch anyone that was associated with the Lions.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
It is kind of crazy. That is really, really funny.
Well, how about it? Like, Matt Patricia is probably going to be a name around college circles after turning things.
Would you want him at State?
No.
Think about it for a second.
No. I'm just mentioning that he's, you know, he's resurrecting his career as a defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Was I emphatic enough about no?
I think you said no.
No.
Would you want him at no? I think is how it looks on the transcript of the show. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, you know who might get another shot here is Jim Schwartz.
Yes. Can I ask me that question?
You want him at Michigan State?
I'm not opposed to it.
Dude, you'd love Jim Schwartz.
I do like Shotzi.
It's the Metallica stuff, man.
It's the Judas Priest stuff. Let's get it right.
It's everything.
That's funny. Speaking of our guy, Aaron Glenn, he did something yesterday that both Sharon Moore and Jonathan Smith have done. And that is, late in a game, you score to pull within a makeable number. And what I mean by that is both Sharon Moore and Jonathan Smith, Sharon Moore against USC and Jonathan Smith against Michigan, scored a touchdown where an extra point would have put them down 10, a touchdown and a field goal. But they both went for two, with the idea being, we're playing to win the game. We're trying to capitalize on our momentum. We like our play. We want to go get 2 points now, and we can maybe win a game instead of going to overtime. Neither Michigan nor Michigan State made their two-point conversion. Well, yesterday...
Oh, did Michigan State miss a two-point conversion?
Yes. Yesterday, the Jets were down 14. and they scored a touchdown to go down six or go down eight. They went for two to cut it to six and ended up and made it and ended up winning by a point. It paid off for Aaron Glenn. I know you probably, I'm going to bring this up in the wake of Michigan State doing it. I was going to ask, do you like this move? And I don't even know why I'm doing this. You're going to say no, aren't you?
I typically don't like the move, no.
Don't you?
No. No. I think there it makes more sense if you're on the road, I think, than if you're at home. Everything is situational and circumstantial. And I forget what the circumstances were in the Jets game, when it was.
I think they cut it to eight, and they went for two to
make
it a six-point
game. I get
it,
but at what point was it? Was it the fourth quarter cutting it to eight, or was this in the first
half? It was early fourth quarter.
So,
yep.
Yeah. I remember watching it on Red Zone.
Yep.
But I don't know if I had a strong opinion either way.
Okay, there are rumors out there in the NFL, and when there are rumors, you always go, okay, how does it impact us? We are getting, what is the trade deadline? November 3rd? Is that correct?
It's next Tuesday.
Okay. So now things are going to start to percolate. Mm. What are the latest trade rumors? Well, the Lions are involved in one of them.
Well, and keep this in mind. Who did Aaron Glenn beat?
Did he beat Tampa? No, it wasn't Tampa. It was, oh, was it Trey Hendrickson's team?
Oh, is that what happened?
Oh, was it Trey Hendrickson's
team? Did they lose a game that perhaps they had... thinking it was a W?
There's an update on Trey Hendrickson and these trade rumors. We'll get to that today, again, at 12:16 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Hey, let's be honest. No.
The Carson Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Okay, so, Diana Rossini on The Athletic did one of these emptying of the notebooks. The what I'm hearing rumors type stuff about the NFL as we are just about a week away here from the trade deadline. And so there's stuff out there. There's percolation in the rumor mill. And let's get to some of it. So she's got these bullet points. One, the Ravens, Colts, Rams, and Lions are making calls for a cornerback. Now, Gator, I guess the question is how... what level of cornerback? Are they looking for someone to start over someone that they already have? Are they looking for depth? Like, how all in are they? Are they just saying, you know what, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. We're not trying to develop Terrion Arnold. So, and I mean, Arnold, there's been ups and downs with Arnold. There's some signs that he is improving, and then there are others. The penalty numbers for the second year in a row early in the season have been a little bit high. But then there's also games where Lamar Jackson can't find anybody open downfield, and that includes Terrion Arnold in coverage, right? So, I mean, there's been ups and downs. With that said, I'm intrigued as to what their level of commitment is in trying to find said cornerback.
I would hope that if you're considering it, it's for a cornerback that might be just somebody that's better than what you have in a practice squad, or it's somebody that can step in and be a lockdown corner and be your best corner. Because you know how I feel about the secondary positions. It's a position that is destroyed by attrition because they always get hurt. Players are always getting hurt back there. I'm not going to turn down a player that might be the best player out there. If the best corner becomes available, right, and there's a top-notch guy, I'm not going to say no because I'm trying to develop Terrion Arnold or I already have DJ Reed. I'm not doing that. Right. What I would say is, okay, can we? What's the price
what's
to pay?
What's the price?
And let's see if that works out into what we want to do. Because they can't afford to say, no, we got this with this. I don't think, not with that position group. Too many guys get hurt. You're always looking for healthy bodies and you want the best healthy bodies you can get.
So... she also adds, last week I reported the Titans were listening to offers for any player not named Cam Ward or Jeffrey Simmons. One name catching the eye of multiple teams, I'm told, cornerback Roger McCreary, who is in the final year of his rookie deal. So the Titans have a number of players, and there you heard Roger McCreary, who's got a couple of pass defended and a interception this year. In his career, he has three interceptions and 17 pass breakups. in his career. And, you know, I mean, obviously starting caliber player, somebody you might take a look at. I feel like we're going on year two and maybe even year three of Arden Key being a possibility as an edge rusher guy. I'd have to look up his stats. I think they're down this year.
He has he's played in six games this season. He has six tackles total, 1.5 sacks.
Okay. I mean, I feel like this is the equivalent of Arden Key. The production, maybe an expectation, would be something similar to what Za'Darius Smith had. I'm not so sure they need an edge rusher. I know the whole world loves the idea of, and we've gone through it. I'm starting to get, and I apologize to the audience. I realized last week somebody called up with how they had to go get Trey Hendrickson. They have to do it. And my hostility towards the they need an edge rusher call came out. And their pass rush has been more than adequate. And the price tag that we have to be paid for a player that, again, according to Diana Rossini, the Bengals are still not planning on moving Trey Hendrickson. And no, the Raiders aren't trading Max Crosby.
Bengals may feel that way now. They play, I think, the Bears on this upcoming week.
Mm-hmm.
See how they feel after that game. If they lose to the Bears, does that change everything?
Well, I mean, if you're planning on selling a valuable player, you might be saying, we're not planning on trading him, but you're keeping everybody's phone number.
Yeah, they play the Bears on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a home game. If they were to lose, I mean, that drops them to 3-6. But it's a division that is, you know, the Steelers are on top. Steelers just lost last night as well, so they didn't lose any ground. Although Baltimore won a game yesterday for only their second win, but I think everybody can see Baltimore trending upward as they...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
They've gotten healthy. Roquan Smith's back. Mm-hmm. They're going to get Lamar Jackson back next week. And they look like they could be damaging again because they're a very talented football team that got off to a rough start with injuries.
So here's another one that is interesting. She writes, keep an eye on the Jets. Teams have been showing interest in defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, although New York's asking price is massive. So... is this a Brad Holmes calling up the Jets and saying, can I talk to Aaron? Can you hand the phone to Aaron?
I just need to talk to AG for a little bit.
Yeah.
Love Quinnen Williams, but it's not necessarily a position.
Not necessarily.
He's a great player.
But again, like, let me just say this about the edge rusher thing. It is true. If you can get somebody for a reasonable price, I'm not opposed to it. I'm just not sure it's as much as a priority as we thought it might be going into this year. And while having two elite edge rushers, again, is great, I wouldn't sell the farm for the idea that you need a second edge rusher, given that their pass rush has been pretty good.
Yes, but that's not Quinnen Williams.
That's Quinnen Williams. Now, Quinnen Williams is a defensive tackle, and I wouldn't turn him down for the right price, but they say the asking price is massive.
Yeah, I mean, he's 27 years old. I think I don't know what his contract is, but I thought he signed a big deal recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not necessarily who I'd be asking about. If you're talking with the Jets, but they're not likely to move a couple of those guys that you would be interested in. So I don't know if the Jets are the team I'm contacting.
Is there anybody, when you say it's not who I'm asking about?
I love Sauce Gardner, but I mean, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure why they'd be giving up Sauce Gardner. But I hear you.
Yeah. I'd be keeping an eye on Cincinnati. I would keep an eye on Cleveland and see what's there. By the way, have a game, Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
They have five sacks in a game yesterday.
Yeah.
Crazy. But looking at what Cleveland has, it's a team that's 2-6. I'm sure they're always looking to move if they can. They might have some players in the secondary that you could be interested in.
It would be absolutely awesome to land. So if you get Cleveland apart from with Miles Garrett, but I think that's
well,
fancy.
That's not that I know. Fancy. I wasn't mentioning it. I just mentioned he had a game. That's
okay.
All I'm saying.
I wondered if you were drawing a straight line.
No. Cleveland's building their future around him. So
yeah,
because they don't have to pay a quarterback apparently, because they're only paying six quarterbacks. Why pay one when I could pay for six?
Yeah, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but as far as the Lions are concerned, I just don't see a big name coming here. Obviously, they know they love the guys they have, and not everyone's has been extended yet, so they got money, you know, pushed aside, I think, for those guys. Attrition is always a factor here because we saw what happened last year, but I think they, you know, they also showed what they can do with those other guys, right? So I think they feel confident in at least a couple of those guys if they have to lean on them more than they just did. They're getting guys back healthy. I think they want, the thing is, you want to be healthy at the right time, and they weren't last year.
Right.
Maybe this year, knock on wood, that they get healthy at the right time. I do go back to something you said that last week, Gator. If anything, a move to increase the depth on the offensive line might be the move.
Yep.
And it's not a big splash move because clearly you have your starters. It's more like, hey, this year Dan Skipper started on the practice squad. So how much did they love him, right? Manu is hurt, and maybe he didn't progress as well as they thought he would so far. You might want to have that veteran guy in case anything goes down, a versatile guy that could play inside and outside for that playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, I think you start looking at the bad teams around the National Football League, and these are the teams that you have to contact about trades. You're not gonna, I mean, you don't see teams that are in contention or teams that you think are contenders for a Super Bowl. Those aren't the teams that are giving up players. So you have to look at, you know, the Miami Dolphins. And the Miami, does it make sense to look at one of their edge rushers? And I think it does make sense. They've got several guys there, and it's a 2-6 team right now. You could take a gander there. You know, the AFC North division is interesting because nobody's running away with it. Pittsburgh leads the division at 4-3. Cincinnati, as I mentioned, they're 3-5 right now. But the big player they have is Hendrickson. We'll see what they end up doing with it. But Baltimore's on the rise, and Cleveland's only, you know, a couple games back as well.
Okay, so 248-539-9797 if you have any comments regarding the latest. In the meantime, Gator, there is an update. Over the weekend, one of the most fascinating stories we've talked about this year. We'll get to that today at 12:32. It's Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh alongside Scott Anderson, and this is the Karsh and Anderson program. Gator, did you see the Cam Scataboo injury over the weekend?
Yeah. A dislocated ankle?
Yep.
Yeah.
When a player is almost like gesturing to their own injury and like going, oh God!
This over here. This. Yeah, this.
And his teammates are doing the, oh,
yeah,
turn their head away real quick thing. It's not funny.
No, I mean, it isn't.
I think this is our coping mechanism.
Hey. Yikes. Hey, can you see the bone?
Yeah.
There was a play yesterday when I was watching in Red Zone. I forget who it was. It was some linebacker that had just come across the field and made a tackle. And it looked like that maybe he had jammed something in his hand. And he gets up and his teammates like, yeah, nice. He's like, yeah. And then he's like, oh. And then he looks at his hand and immediately goes, and they don't show what happened. I'm like, thank God. I don't want to see this. What the hell happened to this guy's hand? But when you come up the field and you're doing the, hey, I need a replacement, you know, start tapping the helmet, whatever it is, whatever your coat is. It's a brutal sport, man.
Scatterer was on the field looking down at his ankle and, hey, is that a right angle? And it reminded me of Jansen's story I'm not asking everyone to do this, poor John, but the picture of him on the internet where he's laying on his back and his body's going north south and his ankle is going east west. His foot is still standing up. His foot is on the ground like he's still standing up, but it's going east west and his body's going north south. And it was against the Dolphins, and the Dolphins head coach was Cam Cameron, who was an offensive coordinator at Michigan when Jansen was there. And Cam was the first one to reach him. And he put his hand on John's chest and said, don't look at it. And John gave the classic line. Is it 2 to 4 weeks, coach, or 3 to 6? And Cam looked at him and said, it's probably closer to 3 to 6, John.
3 to 6 months.
Is there a more misleading injury than dislocated ankle, by the way, on that? That's not, dude.
No, like when I hear dislocated ankle, initially I think of...
I know that's the medical term, but...
I'll tell you what I think of initially when I hear dislocated ankle. I think of Tony Finau at the Masters when they had like the hole-in-one thing, whatever, and he hits the hole-in-one, jumps up to celebrate, and his ankle pops out, but then he pops it back in. And he was okay.
Yeah.
Dislocated ankle.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Just pop it back into place. I don't think of the Cam Scataboo injury.
No.
When I hear dislocated injury. I think of like somebody just lost their leg when I see the Cam Scataboo.
Dude, that looked terrible.
Not good.
Juan on a cellular on 97 with a ticket. Hi, Juan.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
I had a question. Would you guys consider, I know it's hard, but would you guys consider trading Jameis Williams for a DN? Preferably one of the losing teams. Maybe I was thinking of a blockbuster. Maybe I'm dreaming, but like the Raiders, you trade Jameis and like 2 picks for Crosby, and then you still get Jacoby Myers out the deal.
So you're saying I get Jacoby Myers and I get Max Crosby?
Yeah, because I know Jacoby Myers is going through a contract issue. It seems like he don't want to be there. I looked at the contract, Jameis and Max Crosby, not too far off. First 3 years, 100, 3 years, 80, or some similar. But yeah, if you can trade what you trade Jameis for, because a lot of the losing team needs a
trade that you suggested, would I do it? Yes, but the problem is I don't think there's a chance in hell they would do it.
Yeah, the Raiders aren't in they're not looking to trade Max Crosby.
They keep saying that.
People keep bringing it up.
Even the Giants. I was thinking about the Giants. Even they got those young DNs, but they, even though they got Malik Nabers, can you imagine Dart with Malik Nabers and Jameis Williams?
And here's the thing that I mean, as much as you're being creative here, Juan, I'm not looking to dent the Lions offense at all. I am a believer that offense wins championships, and I think Jameis' presence on the field impacts everybody. Even if the production isn't through the field, or even if the production isn't through the roof, I find that he's the guy that everybody keeps a safety over the top to make sure that he doesn't get loose deep.
I agree.
I don't want to weaken the offense.
Move Jameis and Williams, but I mean, of course, the right move comes along. I mean, if you're telling me that the Giants want to move Brian Burns for Jameis and Williams, I'm going to listen. Or Kayvon Thibodeau, I'll listen. Max Crosby, I will listen. I don't think those moves are.
Yeah, and I probably don't want to do that.
It's crazy because just like you, Gator, like I'm a huge fan of Brian Burns, Max Crosby, those guys, Trey Hendrickson. But entering this week, the Lions are third in the NFL in sacks. So, I mean, how much do you really need a guy opposite of Hutchinson, right?
Like, it's not a crisis. It really isn't.
Yeah. Like,
people are looking at the wrong position group.
Well, here's this. It just came in from Scott. Hendrickson or a corner? Remember when you were a kid and you had holes in all of your socks, but you wanted the Millennium Falcon? Your mom got you socks. We'd love Hendrickson, but we sort of need socks.
And you wanted the Millennium Falcon. I'm laughing because it hurts. It's true. It's so true. Remember when you wanted the X-Wing fighter? But you got socks. You got underwear instead. I don't want underwear. You need underwear.
Yeah.
But I wanted the TIE fighter. Yeah.
I do your laundry. You need underwear. Right.
A lot of it.
Right? Right?
Like, what do you do all day?
Oh, hysterical.
You got holes in all your socks. You wanted the Millennium Falcon, but your mom got you socks.
Yeah,
100%. I totally understand that.
Okay, update on the Louvre heist. Two suspects were arrested Saturday night in connection to the Paris Louvre Museum heist.
Oh, do we have any quotes from an inspector?
Does your dog bite?
Inspector Devereaux.
Thieves took less than 8 minutes to steal $102 million worth of jewels.
Did you see the video of them getting out of there?
No, there's
like
video?
There's a video of like some giant ladder that's on an angle up to the side of the building that's attached to like a truck or whatever, and they just slide down it to get out of there.
Sick.
Brilliant.
Brazen. This was brazen.
It's probably, thankfully, nobody gets hurt in that.
Of course.
Right? I mean, that's where you can sit back and.
And then I think all guys can't help but think, how would I get away with this? Maybe not as much as we probably like to admit, but one of the thieves was caught at the airport getting ready to leave the country. And he got flagged down and they arrested him. Apparently, some DNA connected the. DNA traces connected the suspects to the police. Both men are in their 30s, and both were known to police.
Oh.
So they had a rep.
Apparently George Clooney made some comment a couple of days ago joking that he was very proud of the Louvre thieves.
He, of course, the star of the Ocean's movies, which are all about heists.
He's very proud of Rusty.
Yeah.
He stepped up.
Ocean's 12, yeah.
Oh, really? This wasn't the first time, Doug? They're career criminals that did this? Nick, they did one shot at this one.
First time. He said one spokesperson said one suspect was arrested as he attempted to board a plane bound for Algeria. So Algeria was the getaway country.
It's interesting because, you know, everything sounds so exotic with all different countries.
Sure.
It's like the distance between countries over that part of the world.
Yeah.
It's like going from, I'm going to Tacoma.
Well, and is a plane too high profile? Should they have just tried to sneak across the border in a car?
Maybe.
No.
Switch to camel at some point.
What?
Then get into a train. Do all different types of transportation.
Get across the border on a camel?
I said at some point. If your ultimate goal is to go to Algeria.
Well, you might use that as a mode of transportation at some point.
I
think you might stand out in France as the guy on the camel. Well,
you might. If you start out, if you're leaving Nice and trying to head east.
Low-profile mode of transportation
in France.
Just
keep it along the Seine. We'll be fine.
Might not be camel, but...
We have to water the camels.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. It is the Karsh and Anderson program, 248-539-9797. Sean in West Bloomfield, you're on 97.1. Hi, Sean.
Hi, gentlemen. So this whole narrative of we're third in sacks, so we don't need an edge rusher, I think is the absolute wrong way to look at it, right? So what that premise says is you only acquire players when you have a deficiency. There's another way to acquire players, which is you double down on an elite group, right? So if we were to acquire a Max Crosby or a Miles Garrett, I'd rather carry a mediocre secondary and just be totally, completely unstoppable on our defensive line. You'd have offensive coordinators quaking in their boots. I don't think we'd lose another game if we got one of those guys. Like, it would make us ferocious.
Sean, I don't think anybody turns down a deal to get one of those guys. I'm not sure, first of all, if any of those guys are going to be available to the Lions or anybody else.
Max Crosby had just signed a deal, would have a $97 million cap hit. Max Crosby, we're being told over and over, isn't available.
Those points are not what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is we're good. We're third and sacks, right?
We made those points. But I would say this. But I understand what you're saying. And would I love to go get Kayvon Thibodeau or somebody else like of that ilk? Yeah, I would. And I think that helps to make up for some deficiencies that you would have in a secondary. When you talk about a mediocre secondary, I don't know if the Lions have a mediocre secondary.
Okay, well, they don't have an elite secondary. Can we say that? I mean,
I'm saying I think it's worse than mediocre.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's why I think that's
where the need due to the Legion of Whom.
Yeah, and I do enjoy that. Now, finding players, it'd be easier to find perhaps an upgrade in the secondary than it is to find an upgrade at defensive end.
I'm just saying, if you double down on an elite group,
I agree.
That's how you win a championship.
But those players have to be available. But Sean, those players have to be available to you.
And they're way more expensive. And
if it's
here's the thing about those players is that yes, you will become the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year, and you are also signing up for losing a bunch of guys you currently have.
You might
in
have
the not so distant future. That's part of the price. Maybe you don't care.
Might be exaggerating, but you might have to lose at least one,
really, and probably two, given what those players cost.
That guy has the worst socks of anybody you have ever met. He has more holes in his socks.
He's got a sweet Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he wants a Millennium Falcon so bad.
That's a great point. I mean, I can appreciate how great it would be to have those guys on the line, but there's a price to be paid. And part of the price is they're trying to keep this group together to make multiple runs at Super Bowls, which I am very intrigued, okay? I think Lions in the past, some of their people in charge might pay a higher price than Brad Holmes is willing to pay. We have not seen Brad Holmes' plan come to fruition yet. But if he keeps drafting the way he's drafting and replenishing the roster with cheaper players and keeping his elite guys, is this sustainable for as long as Brad Holmes is here?
Well, I think that's the idea, is that he's growing with his team and giving these guys contract as the league is also increasing the salary cap from year to year, that he's kind of keeping up with that and not trying to get ahead of it. And it's worked out to this point, but if you were to accelerate that by adding someone that's going to get, you know, north of $40 million a year, by the way, you still haven't offered Hutch, or you still haven't gotten Hutch signed yet. Does that prevent you from, if you were to do this, and you would have an elite defense without question, and I see that, but is the price to be paid not only that you've given up on draft capital, which I'm fine with, but then let's say that you can't sign Laporta, or God forbid, would you say that you can't sign Branch or Jahmyr Gibbs?
So I feel like some of this approach is, hey, I know the world is going to end next spring, so I need to win this Super Bowl first. I'm not approaching it that way.
No, but again, it depends on who's available.
Yes, and that's definitely part of it.
If you call the Giants and say, hey, we're interested in some of your edge rushers, like, none of them are available. Like, are you serious? Not, absolutely not. No, they're not available. And if you call the Bengals and say, we want Trey Hendrickson, and they're like, we're not trading Trey Hendrickson. Are you sure? Yeah, we're not trading him. I mean, you don't give them the Godfather offer.
Well, right? Continually asking for those guys is fine, but
and they should
ask. All the feedback we get. Last year, nobody got moved. Parsons got moved when it got personal with Jerry, and that's why you always call Dallas about all of their players at all times.
And then the cost was huge.
Yes, the cost is something that, in terms of the return, was a couple first-round picks, which is fine, But then there was he needed to be signed, and that would basically, I mean, you can look at it as we are giving him Aiden Hutchinson's money, and Aiden will be lost at the end of his contract. But
yeah, and then gave him $46 million. Yeah,
so you know, there's some reasons why it's not as easy as just going to get one of those guys, but for a much lesser price, you can make yourself way better and address some needs. 248-539-9797, Carson Anderson. By the way, the blueprint continues to be solid. Look awful in your first your first weekend. Look terrible. Signed the 2025 Detroit Tigers, the 2025 Detroit Lions, the 2025 Detroit Red Wings, and now the 2025 Detroit Pistons. Look awful in your opener. And then just do nothing but bounce back. Who had the Pistons at 2-1 after that opener? Remember the call that called right after the opener and said, guys, I'm really worried about this team? Like, well, it's one game.
It's one game, and I suppose if you were to look at it closer, you'd say they kind of sleptwalked through the first quarter without question.
Of the opener or all three games?
In the opener.
Because I kind of think it's all three games.
Well, maybe. But they certainly got better as the game went on, that opener, although they, you know, it was kind of an even score through the next three quarters, except for then the fourth quarter in the opener. Yeah. They played really well, and they held the team to under 20 points, if I'm not mistaken. From that fourth quarter on, it feels like the Pistons have played pretty good defense in the next two games to win.
Here's what's funny. These are the three worst quarters for the Pistons. Like, and for people who don't know, they beat Houston and Boston, two really good teams, although Boston's off to a terrible start. But they beat Houston and Boston over the weekend to go to 2-1. Do you know what the Pistons defensively worst three quarters of the year are so far?
Defensively?
Yeah.
With the worst three quarters?
Their worst three quarters
The first three of the first game?
Their worst three quarters defensively in terms of points allowed are the first quarter against the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. They gave them 35 points. The second worst quarter they have this year is the first quarter against the Houston Rockets. They gave up 33 points. And the third worst quarter they've had was tied for second. The first quarter against Boston, they gave up 33 points. Every single game, their worst quarter was the first quarter. And those are the three worst defensive quarters they have had this year, the first quarter. And I said it last week, something weird with this team defensively in the first quarter. I didn't have the data to support it, but I suspected it was true that some of their first quarters last year were terrible defensively. It felt like that happened. I'll just go with the stat, my favorite stat in games I watched. Oh, yeah. You could count on them giving somewhere between 32 and 39 points up in the first quarter. I don't know what the story is with that. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, Gator. Tell me I'm
wrong.
Can't
do it.
But, I mean, Cade with a good weekend. He had like 46 points, 17 assists, 10 rebounds in the two games. Asar Thompson hit some big shots down the stretch. And like starting to look like a guy who's developing big shots down the stretch against Houston. I think he was their second leading scorer yesterday. Was that the case? No, Duren was 24, but Asar had 21. So showing some stuff here, Gator. Showing some stuff. Don't dislike this group.
There are some things.
Yep. So keep your eye open. Asar also had that sweet block of the dunk attempt by Derek White. And one, maybe a two and ones in that game, but 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. We opened the show talking a lot about Michigan and Michigan State. We'll get back to some of that next hour. Also got to talk about the chase in the NFC North. The Lions had the day off. That doesn't mean there wasn't action. That doesn't mean we had to do the highly, highly distasteful thing of having to root for Aaron Rodgers, and he did not come through for us. That sucked. Plus Champ and Chump. Get your Champ and Chump votes in at 248-539-9797. Who should be singled out for having the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? It's 248-539-9797. And there's more reporting on Tarek Skubal. That coming up next hour as well here on 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.